Who can tell me what last Tuesday was? Who hasn't already forgotten? 4th of July. Right. Which is, of course, in the United States, a national holiday. Independence Day. And so that means that many people around the country, not everyone, of course, but many people had the day off to gather with friends and family and to celebrate. I am fortunate to be able to say that I was one of those people, and I have to say it was delightful. I had the entire day to myself. My boys, who are normally at home, were in Savannah, Georgia, spending time with the Worley side of the family, and my sweetheart was at the beach in Florida, spending time with his extended family. I had the entire day to myself, and it was delightful. I didn't do any work all day, nor did I do any swinging, which is too bad because I do love to swing. But I spent a little bit of time meditating in the morning. I watched a couple of really good movies. I read from a couple of different books. I mowed the lawn outside the quad where we are living. I solved several difficult Sudoku puzzles. I did a deep clean of my stovetop and my oven, which both desperately needed it. And I went for a long hike. Did I mention that I had the entire day to myself? And did I mention that it was delightful? And not only was it delightful, it was actually delightfully restful. I mowed the lawn, I cleaned the stovetop and the oven, I went for a 2-hour hike, and yet at the end of the day, my body felt rested. I did some reading, I watched a couple of not especially lighthearted movies, I solved a couple of difficult, challenging Sudokus, and yet at the end of the day, my mind felt rested. I did all of those things, I threw in a little bit of meditation, and at the end of the day, my spirit felt rested. It was not an entirely unproductive day, and yet it was delightfully restful. I wonder, is that the kind of rest that Jesus is inviting us into in today's gospel passage? I'm going to read his words again, the beautiful invitation that we heard at the end of the passage. And I invite you to close your eyes as you listen. And open your heart and pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you feel. Pay attention if there's any image that comes to you as you take in his words. And so listen again. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Don't open your eyes yet. Hold on to anything you may have heard whispered in your spirit, or that you felt rising within you, or that you saw in your mind's eye as you listened to those words. And keep listening. I'm going to read them one more time, but this time from The Message, Eugene Peterson's interpretation, because some of the words are quite different. And so hear Jesus speaking to you again. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. When you're ready, open your eyes and keep breathing. Bob, I seem to have lost connectivity. Just taking a few moments to mindfully listen, to take in those words and that invitation, just doing that offers a little bit of rest, doesn't it? So I wonder if any of you are willing to share just a word or two about any feelings that you had as you listened, or images that came to mind, or words that jumped out at you. So anybody that's willing to share a word or two? Hannah.
Looking for seashells on the beach with waves.
Looking for seashells on the beach with waves.
Looking out over Pueblo Canyon from the memorial bench.
I think that many of us, if not all of us, whether we're conscious of it or not, long for rest, soul deep rest. Because many of us, if not all of us, are weary. We're tired. We're carrying heavy burdens. And we're worn out. For one thing, it seems that we as Americans specialize in creating first and then living with this sense of there's too much to do and not enough time to do it. We live with a constant feeling that there are expectations to meet. There are obligations to fulfill. There are responsibilities to carry out. And more than enough of all of those to go around. There are issues to be tackled, challenges to surmount, problems to solve. And not just in one part of our lives, but everywhere, at work, at school. Even Calvin said, I have burdens to carry with family and with friends, at church and in the community. All of these places and situations offering us a multitude of opportunities to add to our to-do list. And then there are the things that simply weigh us down, both large and looming things like gun violence, political division, the climate crisis, systemic racism, war, bad theology. And there are personal, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking things like ruptured relationships, terminal diagnoses, the chaos of unexpected news, grief, anxiety, fear, shame. I think it's safe to say that many, if not all of us, are weary, that we're tired, that we are carrying heavy burdens. And we just keep on keeping on. Because that's what we're supposed to do, right? That's what makes the world go round. That's just what we do. And it kind of makes us feel good, right? Sort of, sometimes. Besides, we don't really have a choice, do we? I want to look back at the scripture passage for a moment and see if there's something in there that helps us think about these things. So the first section of today's passage seems to be, at least in part, about expectations. What people were expecting to see in a prophet, and then in the Messiah. How they would appear, how they would behave, with whom they would interact. In other words, how they would show up in the world. Jesus said in those verses, "But to what will I compare this generation?" It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to one another, "We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We wailed and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." It seems that the people to whom Jesus was talking had a pretty high level of confidence in the accuracy of their expectations regarding what a prophet would be like and what the Messiah would be like, how they would show up in the world. And when John the Baptist and Jesus showed up in very different ways, in fact, in ways that completely contradicted their expectations,
instead of loosening their grip on what they expected, which might have allowed them to really see John as a prophet and Jesus as God's Messiah, they held firm to the rightness of their beliefs, and they missed out on seeing God at work and joining with God in that work. What if John and Jesus had also believed that these people were right? What if John and Jesus had let go of their own convictions about who they were and what they were to be about and had changed their behavior to please the people around them? What if John and Jesus had let go of their own clarity about their identity and their mission and allowed the people around them to impose on them an identity and mission? An identity and mission that would affirm the rightness of their expectations, but would not only undermine, but would completely negate John and Jesus' God-given identity and mission. I think the world would be a whole different place. Both John the Baptist and Jesus were clear about who they were. They had no doubts about their God-given identity. And they were clear about what they were to be about in the world. They had no question about their God-given mission. They did not adopt as their own the expectations of the people around them, but rather paid attention to the expectations that were born out of their relationship with God. They did not take on as their own the obligations so generously offered to them by the people around them, but rather focused on fulfilling the obligations that sprung from their understanding of God's call on their lives. They did not assume responsibility for all the things, all the unresolved challenges, all the problems that needed fixing, all of the unsettled issues. And there were plenty of those so clearly evident in the people and the situations around them. But John the Baptist and Jesus, I believe, each sought to carry out the responsibilities that arose from their clear sense of who God was calling them to be and what God was giving them to do. And I think that's the answer and the invitation. I think doing that would allow us to find and experience the deep rest that Jesus is talking about and inviting us into. I think that soul deep rest comes from walking with Jesus and developing a clarity of identity and mission, a clarity with regard to who we are as God's people and what we are to be about in the world as God's people, both as individuals and as a community. So, in order to find the rest for our souls that we so desperately long for, all we have to do is know ourselves fundamentally and primarily as the person first and then as the people that God made us to be and that God knows us to be. And all we have to do is be clear on the work that God has given us to do. And then we just have to be those people and do that work. Simple. Right? Not simple. But it's possible. It takes intention and work and prayer and stillness and listening and patience. It takes openness of mind and spirit. It takes loosening the grip on our expectations and sometimes the expectations of others. It takes trusting. It takes a willingness to disappoint. It might take some trial and error. But as we seek to know those things, as we ask God to reveal those things to us by the power of God's Spirit, as we discern and begin to live more and more fully into those things, I believe we'll begin to move away from what sometimes feels frantic and nonstop and restless, this lifestyle that we so often live of doing and producing and pleasing and solving and fixing and judging. And we'll begin to live more fully as the people God is calling us to be, and we'll engage more consistently in the work God has for us to do. And as we do that, as we become more and more fully those people, I believe that we will move more deeply into this place of rest, God-given, soul-deep, transformative, restorative, delightful rest, with or without the swing. May it be so. Amen.